your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday to you. It's Friday, September the 27th. Got my man Mark Narducci back in the building. What's up, Mark?
Keith, doing great. You know, we talked to Brett Brown on Wednesday at the media luncheon. Media day for the Sixers is Monday. First day of training camp Tuesday. It's all ready to start.
Yep, it is. Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations to you. I don't know if you guys know this. If you follow me, Mark, just about anybody else who covers the Sixers beat, the Sixers, you know that the Sixers gave him a framed jersey, jersey number 35 with Narducci on the back for 35 years of service with the Enquirer. It was a great thing, but the best part was watching Mark walk down Center City with that big framed jersey. He wouldn't let none of us help him. We kept saying, Mark, are you sure you want to take it on the train back to Jersey? Mark was like, I'm going to do it. My man was sweating. He was struggling. But he was happy as I don't know what. So to me, seeing Mark do that was probably the biggest enjoyment I had. Not from making fun of him, but you just know how happy he was to receive that award.
Keith, it was exciting. My wife was excited. She wanted to see it. So the Sixers offered to keep it, and I could get it on Monday. I said, no, I'll do it. But just one thing, just a classy gesture by you know, Brett Brown, Dave Schaller, and the entire Sixers organization, and one that is just greatly appreciated.
Yeah, it was. You deserve it. I just say that. You deserve it. But I know you guys want to also hear about some of this subject. So today, we're going to talk about three things. We're going to do what we normally do. We're going to break this podcast into three segments. First thing, we got to talk about Brett Brown doing what Brett Brown does. He never hides from the team goals. He never tries to, you know, minimize them. He puts some out there. He said the goal is to be the number one seed. And when I first tweeted out, I thought he was talking about the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. No, he wants to be the number one seed in the playoffs. So we'll talk about that in the first segment. Now, we know that all coaches, that's their goal. They all want to do that. But the fact that he put it out there, we're going to talk about that. In the second segment, we're going to talk about Ben Simmons' jumper, right? Brett Brown is impressed with Ben's jumper. He said that he put in more work this summer. He's been more invested in his shot this summer than he's ever has in the past, right? And then the third thing, Brett Brown talked about the team is going to have smash mouth offense and bully ball defense. All the relying on the threes and all that stuff is done. You know, right now, I mean, they're still going to shoot threes. We're not going to be, we can't, like, not say that. But right now, with this big team that they have, where you have four starters over 6'10", or 6'10", and above, you know, it's going to be about smash ball, smash mouth, and bully ball. So, Mark, to get things started, what were your impressions and your thoughts of what Brett Brown said about, hey, our goal is to be number one, the number one seed.
I think, Keith, first of all, every time he says things like that, A, he's being honest, but B, inadvertently, he's putting more pressure on himself to deliver. But the whole key in being the number one seed is, what price are you willing to pay to be that number one seed? And he did talk about the fact that you have to, you know, they're going to rest Joel Embiid. I mean, he played 64 games last year. I would be shocked if he played that many this year. But he also talked about, hey, Al Horford's 33 years old. We got to get him to the finish line when the playoffs start in good health too. So there's a lot of juggling you have to do. Will you compromise being that number one seed to rest some of these guys? So it's going to be really interesting how they address this situation. And they're certainly not the only ones in this boat. But it's going to be interesting to see how they go about it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, the thing is, when you look at their, I mean, they start off tough. They got a tough stretch early on. But when you look at the talent level on the team, you say to yourself, like, this team is going to win at least 50 games based off of talent. And when you look at Joel Embiid resting, You know, you know he's going to rest. You look at Al Horford. You know, some people may argue that at this particular time, Al Horford's a better center than he is a power forward. Now, don't get me wrong. He wants to be a power forward, and he can play that. But he's a matchup problem at the five. So when you look at that, they're not going to miss really. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Embiid, he's better than Embiid at the five. But they're not going to miss a beat like it was last year when they had to go out off the street and bring in a Greg Monroe to play the five. So I believe that this team, even when they're going to rest people, and there's some bad teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
Right? There's some bad teams in the NBA. Even though they're going to rest people, they're still going to be there. It's just that right now, you know, their defense is so much better. To whereas, you think about it, last year, the defense was so horrible that there was dudes that we never even heard of dropping 30 on the Sixers. Like, oh my God, the guy just, I mean, I love my man Jakar Sampson. And I'm not saying he's trash. He's a good player. The thing about Jakar Sampson is he was on a 10-day contract against the Sixers and dropped 30 on him, right? So, again, now you look at the defense, so you can see where Brett Brown is coming out and saying this. But you know what? 2 years ago, he came out and he said, everybody thought he was crazy, and he said, our goal is to make the playoffs. You know, last year, he comes out and says, our goal is to make it to the NBA Finals, right? Now, you look back at it, they lost again in the second round, but they lost to the eventual NBA champions. So some people may say, you know what? Who knows if they would have lived it out? Like, they probably would have. And no one's going to say Brett Brown's crazy. Right now, you look at it, and you're saying, you can't say again, our goal is to make it to the NBA Finals. You have to say, our goal is to be the number one seed, to make them hungry. So I understand that, where he's coming from.
Yeah, there's no question, and it's been pointed out by everybody else. Nobody gave the Raptors a tougher time in the playoffs than the Sixers. So they were very close. Keith, back to the Embiid-Horford thing. The one question I have in my mind, what happens in a game if both of them don't play? You know, I mean, it is possible. Horford's missed, I think I wrote in my story, an average of 12.6 games a year the last 3 years. I still think they'll be a strong team, but there'll be some challenges there.
Yeah. Well, without them, and I think that when, you know, the thing is there will be some challenges, but that could be where you get a Kyle O'Quinn type of guy to come in there and bang with someone. You know, they can also go small ball, you know. But I think that with that lineup, let's say if they're not playing, let's say if they don't want to go Kyle O'Quinn, they can go, man, like...
Mike, they go small, bring Mike Scott. Remember?
Yeah, exactly. They could do that. That's what I'm saying. And then Tobias could probably slide to the four. You know, they have those type of options. I mean, the one thing is, with Tobias, you know, he started the season when he was with the Clippers, he was a three. He comes to the Sixers and they move him to the four. You know, so, you know, they have some options right there. Now, again, it's not ideal. No. You know, it's not ideal because then you're also, you know, the bench is a little bit deeper now. And if those two guys don't play, then that the depth that you had on the bench isn't there anymore. So, but as far as Brett Brown saying what he said, you know, I get it. You know, a lot of, like, I know I get the pressure that he is definitely putting on himself. People are going to use his bulletin board material. But really, do you need that? I mean, do you really need bulletin board material for what a coach saying that everybody is expecting them? Heck, you got Stephen A. Smith, you got Charles Barkley, you got my daughter, everyone else saying the Sixers are going to win the championship this year. So, you know what I mean? Like, Brett Brown is basically just saying what people expect him to say.
You know, one thing I thought is interesting about the Smash Mouth offense, in today's NBA, everyone says that's a relic, it's a thing of the past. And I've often said to myself, why? Why can't it work? Why can't it work when you have a guy like Embiid who draws so much attention down low? You're going to get open shots. It will actually help your perimeter game as well. Why can't it work still to have an inside game and to have one of the great players in the game who can work near the basket? I still think there's room for it. I mean, you've got to have some balance. There's no question about it. But I still think it can work, and I think the Sixers are intent on proving that.
Yeah, and we'll really talk more about that in the third segment. I like the teaser. I have, you know what? I'm with you. But then I also have some concerns with that as well. But, you know, but hey, like Brett Brown said, there's some trends. But we really will do a really good deep dive in that in the third segment. But at first, what I really want to talk about when we get right back from this commercial break, I want to talk about Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons. I want to talk about Ben Simmons' jumper when we get right back. All right, Mark. So what do you think about Ben's jumper? Like, you know, Brett Brown seems really impressed. You know, he's saying all the things that you expect him to say. You know, he talked about the form. You know, he talked about, you know, how he's worked hard. But the one thing that he said to me is all about willingness. And we've been saying that for a while. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, Ben Simmons, you go to the pregame, you know, the form doesn't look good, but it goes in. But it just seems like when the game comes, he never took that shot. And that's what Brett Brown is saying right now, is a willingness to take the shot.
Yeah. Because that's all about confidence and everything like that. I think Ben, for as great a player as he is, I think he's pretty sensitive to the criticism. And I think that's really one of the reasons why. Because he's never really failed at anything else in his basketball life other than shooting. And I think that has gotten into him a little bit. And if he could forget that and be allowed to fail, that'll be fine. Now, remember, Keith, when the Sixers had their press conference after they had signed their new players and everything, Tobias Harris back in July, was talking about Ben Simmons. You should see what he's doing. I was out there with him. He's going to be a new player. Why, though, do people need to talk it up? Let's just see it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know?
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's the thing. Like, see, my thing about, again, I think his shot did. Well, we'll see if his shot got better. Like, we'll see it with our eyes. And everyone says the willingness, and I get that. And he has to be willing to do it. But we'll see more. You know, my thing is, a lot of times, and this may go, I'm contradicting myself a little bit, but whenever I hear Brett Brown talk about his form getting better, whenever I hear Brett Brown say that, you know, he's really working with this guy, you know, Chris Johnson, or Brett didn't say it, but he is working with Chris Johnson, who is a renowned trainer. You know, he worked with Jimmy Butler. He worked with LeBron sometimes. You know, he worked with Tobias Harris, you know. So, you know, he's worked with a lot of guys. He's a great shooting coach. But in the summertime, at this time of the season, we always have stories about what people are doing in the summer. You know, right now, you know, people can do no wrong.
Has anyone ever had a bad summer?
No one has. No one has. And you know, and they all work out and they all do well. But we have to see it. And, you know, when they go to these workouts, they put together these videos, you know, everything is good. Everything looks great. And then when you see when the actual games come, it's like, oh. But, you know, what is Brett Brown going to say at this particular time? Is he going to tell us, like, you know what? I don't think the new form he has looks good. No, he's not going to say that. You know what? I don't think that. You know, this guy, like, he's not going to talk about the weaknesses in anyone's games. He's going to say that everyone is great. So, you know, it's one of those things that, as a coach speak type of thing, you know, everyone is great, everyone looks good, and we'll see it. Now, again, do I believe that Ben Simmons is putting in more work than he had? Yes, I do. But the one thing is, we were also told last year when he was working with his brother, who is a quality guy for him, we were told that Ben Simmons was going to come back and he was going to shoot the ball more. When the year before that, or two, when he first started playing, you know, there's a renowned shooting coach by the name of John Townsend, who's no longer with the Sixers. We were told the same thing. John Townsend came here to work with Ben Simmons. So, again, I think maybe after 2 years of being criticized and stuff like that, that Ben Simmons has decided to say, hey, you know what? It's all about me. I got to start, like, holding up, being more accountable for my actions. I believe that he has put in more work. But we will find out when the game starts, when he starts hoisting, if he starts hoisting up open shots.
You know, Keith, everyone wants Ben Simmons, and you pointed out in your story, I hope people read that in Inquirer.com about this, that, you know, he missed all 11 of his three-pointers last year. He's missed 12 in his career over the 2 years. I think people want him to shoot threes. I differ a little bit. I'd like to see him in that 14 to 16 foot range, because defenders are still backing off him in that range.
Yeah.
If he can make those shots first, then let's worry about the three after that. But I think those are the shots that he's really got to take. And you know, we'll just see if he's able to do that. You had some good stats too in your story about he shot 36.5% from 3 feet and out. Yeah. So, you know, let him clean a little bit of that 3 to 14 foot range first before we start saying Ben's got to be a 3-point shooting champ.
Yeah, and so here's my thing. This is what I think with Ben Simmons. You know, like you said, he got to clean that up. But the main thing for him is what Brett Brown said in the article and what he told us Wednesday, is a willingness to shoot. So if it's a mid-range jumper, wherever it is, just shoot the ball. Because that's going to open up a lot of things for Simmons, and it's going to open up things for his teammates. You know, last year, like, again, he doesn't have to be a great three-point shooter. He doesn't have to be a shoot the ball a lot. But like you said, when you're open, shoot the ball, because then people are going to have to respect you more. And last year, unfortunately for him, you know, the things that a lot of people are not talking about is when they played against the Toronto Raptors, he was relegated to being a defensive power forward. And what I mean by that is he was guarding. His main role, instead of one game where he got attacked the rim, it was you got to guard Kawhi, which was an uphill battle for anyone on the Sixers team. They all struggled. He just didn't get abused as much as most people. And then on offensively, while they still listed him as the point guard, he was on the block, and they were playing kind of like, you know, they were playing him, you know, right to the basket, you know, getting the ball, taking it up. But unfortunately, in that last game, he shot for a high percentage, but it was like he was basically left out of most of the flow in the clutch because of Jimmy Butler and Audie and Joel. Ben was basically a bystander. Why? Because he wouldn't shoot the ball from the outside. They took the ball out of his hands, and that was his role. He was just a defensive player against Kawhi, and he was on the block offensively, and they really didn't help the Sixers in that game. So what's going to have to happen is, for, you know, he's going to be an all-star again. He's going to be one of the elite players, but he has to just make at least attempt the open shot.
He's got to be willing to fail.
Yeah.
He hasn't failed very much in anything else in his career, and he has to be willing to do that. And I think, you know, people will be on board if he does that. Yeah, one last thing, Keith. He is still such a devastating driver to the basket with guys playing off him and you know, not respecting his jump shot. If they have to respect it, I mean, he's going to get to the basket even more. And I think he's a great finisher.
Yeah, he is. When we get right back from this commercial break, we're going to talk about something that Mark wanted to talk about in the first segment.
Sorry about that.
Nah, it's all good. It's great. It's great. I mean, it's a great topic. But when we get right back, we're going to talk about Smash Mouth offense and Bully Ball defense when we get right back. All right, Mark. So tell me, what's your thoughts of the Smash Mouth offense and the bully ball defense that the Sixers are going to play this year?
Well, since I talked about the offense earlier, and I think it can work in today's NBA, I'll switch to the defense, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
I think this can be an elite defensive team. I mean, you look at that starting lineup, and, you know, Brett Brown said Tobias Harris he's a prideful guy. He's going to be better defensively. He doesn't want to be the weak link on a defense. But he probably is the weak link, and that's not saying he can't play defense, but that is a very strong defensive starting five. And we've talked before in this podcast that Al Horford has the versatility when he was with Boston to defend either Embiid or Simmons. There aren't many people in the NBA that can do that. Josh Richardson probably going to be defending a lot of point guards at 6'6", and wanting that assignment. Embiid, a tremendous defender down in the blocks. And I think Simmons, you know, Brett Brown has said in the past that he thinks one day Simmons could, you know, vie for Defensive Player of the Year. And I certainly agree that he has the basis to do that. So I don't know. I mean, you look at the Clippers and with Kawhi, if a healthy Paul George, with Beverly, that's going to be a heck of a defensive team. But the Sixers, I think, are going to be right there with being able to put the clamps on teams.
I agree. I mean, I think they're going to be a good defensive team. You know, offensively, you know, I just have to – I want to see how this thing works. I mean, again, they have all the pieces on the offensive side, and I agree with you. It's just that they're going away from something that they did before. You know, like they're just going to smash people. And, you know, the one thing that Brett Brown said yesterday or 2 days ago was, you know, who's going to close out the games? And he said Embiid. And, you know, he's our crown jewel. Now, he said in certain situations, if Ben Simmons has a mismatch, a height advantage, he'll get the ball, you know, to depending on Tobias. Now, Ben's probably going to have a height advantage most of the time. But, you know, and Al. But my question is, I just have to see how that's going to work now. Because, you know, Embiid has always been the crown jewel. But they had a problem turning the ball over. Or of him turning the ball over in seasons past when they would try to give him the ball in clutch situations. So, you know, typically in today's NBA, you would think that a guy like Tobias, maybe a Ben Simmons, you know, maybe a Josh Richardson, that type of guy would be your closer just because, you know, it's easier to get them the ball and then go into what you want to do. The thing about Embiid, so much has to go right in order for him to get the ball. And then if they double team him, now maybe you give him the ball and you kick the ball out to someone. But, you know, I just have to see how this is going to work. Now, again, you know, last year he said it's not about three-pointers. You know, I know they don't have J.J. Redick. But last year, you know, when you look at it, you know, they weren't one of the top teams in regards, believe it or not, they weren't one of the top teams in regards to three-pointer shot per game. They were like 19th. But what they were one of the top teams in regards to three-point percentage. Yeah. You know, and then there were certain games where they relied heavily on the three. It just balanced out to be 19th, ranking 19th after 82 games. So I just want to see how this is going to look. That's just my thing. How is it
going to
look?
Well, the one thing it's going to look is they are not going to even come close to abandoning the threes because, as you mentioned, Embiid will get doubled and even tripled down in the post. Now, the strategy to have him be the go-to guy, that's all great. But the problem with Embiid, and you alluded to it, he often turns the ball over down there. When he gets the ball, he's got to go up right away. And if he doesn't, people are going to collapse on him, and that's when he has to kick it out. And that's sometimes when he gets in trouble with the turnover situations. So I think I agree that in crunch time, you get it into him. If he can't put it up right away, he'll draw the double, maybe the triple team, and a Tobias, a Josh Richardson, a Horford. Someone's got to be open.
Yeah, exactly. And my thing is, when you do so, and also, you know, like he said, he was talking about the spacing and all that. And when you're doing, like, Smash Mouth, like you said, and you don't have anyone, you're not relying on a three, just to follow what you're saying, that's going to disrupt the spacing. You know what I mean? Because everyone's going to be, okay, we're going to clog the middle. We're going to make sure they don't mess with us. Maybe just saying, hey, we got these big guys, and that's what we're going to utilize, big guys. You know, but I just think that you're going to have to do something. I don't know. I mean, and again, let's say it. Everything is trends in the NBA.
Yeah.
Embiid said a couple years ago he wants to bring the big man back, bring the center back. And he has helped to do that a little bit. But it's still a guards league. It's still a guards league, a perimeter players league. You know, now you got big guys who can do things differently. Like, a lot of them have different skill sets to where they're not bangers, so to speak. But it's still a guards league. You know, you have bigs who can step out and shoot. But that's not like the way it used to be with Patrick Ewing and all these other guys. So, you know, it's going to be different. But, you know, like you said, they're going to have to still rely on the three to get the spacing together. And what are they going to do when they have a second, when they blend in the different guys, when they, you know, they stagger the starting lineup and stuff like that. You know, you just can't say, hey, we're going to bang it. We're going to bang up in the middle. So we'll see.
Yeah, one other thing, Keith, and this goes back to what we talked about Simmons. When they get in the 30 seconds left in the game and they get it down to Embiid and then he gets doubled or tripled, Ben Simmons is going to be open at the foul line. So the teams are going to be playing 4 against 5 and leaving Simmons open. And that goes back to the fact of his willingness and wanting to take those shots, because those shots will be there for him.
Yeah, they will. They definitely will. But look, Mark, I want to thank you, my man, for joining me. I want you to have a great weekend. And, brother, we get back at it on Monday. Monday's going to be the start of Media Day, Sixers Media Day, y'all. They start training camp on Tuesday next week. That's when I get back to coming back to you guys 5 days a week. So I look forward to that. And I hope you guys, you know, follow us this year. On Inquire.com, you know, you can get the podcast there. You know, you could get it in Apple Play. You could get it a lot of different places. And also make sure you go to Inquire.com to read our coverage on the Sixers this season. It's going to be a great year. And we look forward to getting the news for you guys. Thank you and have a great day. Peace.